It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up in a few minutes, we like to every few weeks offer cooking advice. So many of us, of course, having many more meals at home than previously because of the stay-at-home orders. And, of course, dining in at restaurants not available at this point. So I'd like to get your questions coming up in just a few minutes for our expert guests. That's coming up, Air Talk, right here on KPCC. But we're joined now by epidemiologist, a professor of medicine at UCLA School of Public Health, Dr. Timothy Brewer. Dr. Brewer, so good to have you with us again on Air Talk.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mantle, for having me back.
And please call me Larry. Let's talk first about Mayor Eric Garcetti with his very positive view of where we are in Los Angeles City and county with the coronavirus. L.A. County now ranking 19th out of California's 58 counties in cases per 100,000 residents. The mayor saying, considering our density and the poverty and other challenges we faced long before this, with pre-existing conditions and health vulnerabilities, this is good news. Your thoughts on where we stand, Dr. Brewer?
So I would agree, Larry. If you look at the metrics the county uses to peel back on some of the restrictions that are in place, they're essentially all moving in the right direction. So hospitalizations are down, deaths are down, test positivity is down. The only kind of blips are total testing is also down. It's below 15,000. We want to try to continue to keep testing if we can. And there is a shortage right now in gloves. But other than that, pretty much all the indicators are moving in the right direction. People are doing a terrific job and should be congratulated for making these public health efforts.
There's understandably concern around the Labor Day weekend and the heat wave that we're going to be experiencing. Although presumably that means that a lot of people, you know, will be out, you know, not wanting to constantly run their air conditioning if they have air conditioning. And if they don't, they'll definitely look for cooler places to be. So how concerned are you about, particularly if people are outside, about a rise in cases?
Well, I think the important thing is if people are outside to remember, keep that physical distancing. Please wear your facial covering if you're anywhere where you might be close to individuals, and try to stay home if you're not feeling well. Remember what happened is we had this surge of cases in April, May. We started to get it under control, and then we hit Memorial Day weekend, and everybody kind of said, great, let's go out and enjoy the summer. And what happened? Boom, the end of June, July, our cases took off again. So we'd hate to see that happen because of the Labor Day weekend as well. So do try to remember all the wonderful things that you've been doing to protect yourself and others. Keep doing them over the weekend.
What are your concerns if we don't have a vaccine this year or before the end of the winter? As people spend more time inside, as perhaps students start returning to some schools, are you concerned that we could hit that second wave of COVID-19 that has been talked about for the past 6 months?
Definitely. So what we've seen is that this virus is still transmitting in the communities. And schools like the University of Notre Dame and the University of Alabama, where they've brought students back together in large numbers, sure enough, you start to see these big surges in cases. So this virus is still out there, it's still in the community, and we still need to maintain our vigilance in terms of doing the things like the physical distancing, the hand washing, staying at home when we're not feeling well.
Love to hear from listeners. Your questions for epidemiologist Dr. Timothy Brewer of the Fielding School of Public Health at UCLA. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Keith in the Fairfax District, just carrying over from our last segment about if a vaccine is available, or whenever it's available, whether you'd be willing to take it in the first round of a vaccination. He said, I wouldn't take a vaccine early on, even if there's scientific consensus, because even now, there doesn't seem to be scientific consensus on the protocols they're telling us, whether it's mask wearing or social distancing. Dr. Brewer, there has been some mess ups with messaging, particularly early on, about masks or when to wear it and, you know, surface contact and all those sorts of things. So, you know, should people be to some degree skeptical of what even experts say?
So Keith, what you have to recognize is that it's a learning process, right? So this was a totally novel virus. We had never seen it before, and we're all learning together at the same time. And so when we're starting off back in January and February, we're extrapolating from what we know about similar viruses like influenza and other coronaviruses. And then as we learn more about specifically SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19 disease, we then have to update how we recommend based on what we learn. So yes, messaging has changed over time, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. It means that we're learning and we're applying those data to help us do a better job going forward.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease official, said a couple of days ago in an interview that the clinical trials of COVID-19 vaccines could be ended early if there were overwhelmingly positive results. The Data and Safety Monitoring Board would, according to Dr. Fauci, make that call. Dr. Fauci said researchers would have a moral obligation if there's overwhelmingly positive results. Do you have any concerns about that could still be rushed?
Not really. So what the Data Safety and Monitoring Boards are doing is they're taking slices or looks at the information as it comes in. What's going to determine how long this takes is outcomes. So the more cases of COVID-19 there are, the sooner we're going to be able to tell whether or not the vaccine works. And so it's entirely possible that if the vaccine trials are able to enroll enough people and there are enough cases of COVID-19 that we could get an answer earlier. And that's happened in other vaccines and studies as well, where a data safety monitoring board says, we now have enough information. We had planned a 3-year trial, but we only need a year and a half because of how much information we have to be able to give a definitive result.
JP tweets at AirTalk, what are the complications with prophylaxis drugs for those who might have underlying conditions?
Prophylaxis drugs for what, Larry?
I'm not sure which underlying illnesses, whether there would be diabetes drugs or blood pressure drugs or things like that. Are there potential complications with those drugs, with COVID-19?
So right now, we do not have any prophylactic drugs for COVID-19. There are a couple of things that are under study. We do have some treatments available. So the two approved treatments are remdesivir, which is an antiviral medicine. And the main side effect of remdesivir is it can cause inflammation of your liver, can cause some muscle aches and some fever. And then the second is steroids, dexamethasone in particular. And one of the major side effects of dexamethasone that we've been using in critically ill patients with COVID-19 is it can make your blood sugars go up. So if you do have diabetes, it can exacerbate the underlying diabetes.
We're talking with Dr. Timothy Brewer, joining us from UCLA Fielding School of Public Health. Dory in the Fairfax District says Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are coming up, and there hasn't really been any guidance for how synagogues can reopen and to operate. Can people be inside? Should we socially distance? I feel like there hasn't been any definitive answer for how we should move forward. Dr. Brewer?
So, again, I would there turn to the county public health department, because on their website they will provide you with information. I haven't checked it recently, so I don't know what their current stand is, but they have actually provided, as well as the CDC, recommendations for houses of worship. I don't know if we've improved enough that they are now allowing indoor services again or not, but that should be available on the county website.
We're talking with Dr. Timothy Brewer of UCLA. One thing we do know is that LA County hair salons and barbershops are able to resume indoor operations, but at a maximum 25% capacity. You feel okay about that, Dr. Brewer?
I think as long as they're maintaining the physical distancing, they're doing good hand washing, and they're wearing their facial coverings, I think that's probably okay. It is a judgment call. Remember, transmission is going to depend on proximity, time, and mitigating factors. So the closer you are together with someone, the longer you spend time together, and the less you do things like wear facial covering, the greater the probability of transmission. So getting your hair done, fortunately, I have short hair. It's very quick. If you have long hair, maybe it takes longer. But I think if you're wearing your mask and they're following all the rules, it's probably okay at this point.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Brewer. Always a pleasure. We really appreciate your expertise and how game you are to take the wide range of questions we have in these segments.
Thank you very much for having me, Larry.
Thank you. He's epidemiologist, Dr. Timothy Brewer, UCLA Fielding School of Public Health, and he served on the advisory boards of the World Health Organization, National Institutes of Health, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Coming up, how to cook like a pro. We're taking your questions for our expert guest, Noelle Carter, who's chef, food writer, and culinary consultant for Noelle Carter Food, formerly director of the LA Times Test Kitchen, and making her debut as an expert guest with us, Deep Tran, who is research and development chef at Red Boat Fish Sauce, former chef and owner of the very popular Good Girl Dinette in Highland Park. We'll hear what they have to say and answer your cooking questions at 866-893-KPCC, back in 90 seconds.